I hope that you hear me, right? So thank you very much, Milan. Okay, I will be. I will come closer, yeah, to this microphone. Thank you very much, Milan, for beautiful introduction, and I hope that I can start because time is passing quickly. So as you see, the title of this presentation is Computational Intelligence for Image Processing, and this is the short outline of this presentation. I would like to start with the notion of images. You know, so the purpose of this talk is to explain things, how they work in image processing. Because in my opinion, this field is or was the prerogative of mostly computer science, and it looks like a collection of methods or recipes just elaborated for solving particular problems. And what I would like to present today is a kind of a unique theoretical approach to this topic and to see how separate methods can be explained from one point of view. And this point of view is the theory of the fuzzy transforms, which I will introduce a bit later. But first of all, let me explain the object of our investigation, and these will be images. Okay? So here you see which problems are important for image processing. Yeah, so I will not read, so you see. And what you also see as red ticks are the problems which I would like to explain in more details today, yeah, and really to explain in order to show the background of mathematical approach to these problems. And the other purpose is to do it on a rather elementary level, yeah, in order to attract young scientists to contribute to the further progress of this topic. Okay, so as you see, the first problem is the problem of representation. And this is very important, yeah, because how we represent formally our object, it depends or it results in the way of processing of this object. And, of course, because I mentioned at the beginning that I will try to explain things mathematically, then the reasonable question is, why computer intelligence? So where is a connection between applied mathematics and what now is connected with the topic of computer science? Mainly, I have on mind this computational intelligence. And I am trying to explain why. First of all, if we apply, and very frequently we do this, yeah. So if we apply rather complicated mathematical tools, then we lose a connection between a problem and the tool itself. And sometimes, yeah, you know, so it makes an impression that it's like a miracle, yeah. So why this or that method works well, yeah, because as I said, yeah, the connection is lost. And it seems to me that if we are on the level of computational intelligence, we are able still to keep this connection. And it helps to bring intuition in the form of knowledge, as it is written. And the last item which you see here, yeah, that this approach explains well why this or that method works. Okay, and now, so let me start the first part of this presentation, and this is just introducing of our objects, which are images. So image as an object, so we will work only with 2D, two-dimensional images. And this is, but this is practically similar if we want to work with 3D, at least the mathematics will be more complicated, but no practical or significant difference. So for us, 2D grayscaled image is just a mapping or a function which maps a domain, which here is denoted by D, to the certain interval of integers. Here it is denoted by a set of real numbers, but we will work with, as I said, with a subinterval of this set. And this function or this map, it will be denoted by U or bold U, as you see. It is identified with an intensity function of two variables. This means that with each point, or because the domain is discretized and the one unit is noted as pixel. Pixel means picture elements. Probably you know this, yeah? And so with each pixel, we correspond its degree, because the images for us, for simplicity, will be on a gray level scale. So this means that with each pixel, we correspond its level of intensity, which is measured within the interval of integers starting from 0 and up to 255, as you see. Okay, images. Now, so image is a discrete object. This means that the domain is discrete and also the range of this function is discrete as well. And therefore, how it can be represented? And there are at least two opportunities. So the first one is really to represent it as a discrete object. This means that to use a matrix representation. And here you see that the matrix, the matrix U, which is capital N times capital M, is just useful for this purpose. But sometimes also it is useful to represent this object as a continuous function. Yeah, and therefore, we use actually two techniques. One is interpolating technique. Yeah, this means that because originally image is a discrete object, so in order to create its continuous model, we need a specific tool, and this is interpolating. I will not go into the details. So you see, this is the denotation of the final result. And the other possibility is to represent with the help of specific approximation. And so it depends on the problem which approximation function can be chosen for this purpose. So as you see, so we will distinguish. So this is a discrete object U, and if we put a hat over, this means that we make this continuous extension of this object. And if it is obtained via interpolation, then this equality holds for all discrete pixels. Otherwise, we have an approximate equality. Okay, and so let me now show some pictures, and these pictures are from interpolation approach, how to extend a discrete object into a continuous domain, in some sense. So you see two possible methods or two possible interpolation functions which are used here. So the first is bilinear interpolation, because it is over a two-dimensional image, and the other is bicubic interpolation. I will not go into the details, so here it is more or less seen that nodes or pixels are denoted as black points on this picture, for example, and then there are spots of colors, and this means that there are different intensities. And so you see here that the mostly intensive color we have around a node or a pixel, and then they blur when distance is greater. In other terminology, the technique of interpolation works as a certain magnifier. So this means that if we want to enlarge our image, for example, from a smaller domain to a larger domain, then we will use just this technique, one of possible techniques. There are many interpolation tools which can be applied, yeah, for magnification of images. So we stopped just on these two, but as I said, there are a variety of them. Okay, and now let me explain you how approximation technique works. And here we are closer to the technique which will be presented today and explain its ability for image processing. This technique is known as the F-transform, or this is the short name of fuzzy transforms, because it was originated from so-called fuzzy partition of the universe. And again, I will not go into the very details, and I hope that the notion of fuzzy set is quite familiar for this audience. So again, the idea of approximation is as follows. So this is the original image, which is discrete. So we see it like, in certain sense, continuous picture, yeah? But this is according to our eyes, yeah? Because they also help us to interpret discrete objects as continuous, yeah? And then, so this is original, discrete, yeah? Then what we do, we transform this object into its reduced version. And for this purpose, we use the F-transform in one direction, yeah? So we call it the direct F-transform. And so the association is that if we apply the direct F-transform, then we reduce sizes of our image, and then we have a reduced copy, yeah? And then to this reduced copy, we apply the so-called inverse F-transform, and we obtain, again, a magnification. The advantage of this transformation is that, as a result, we have, first of all, an approximating object, and as a second advantage is that this approximating object can be represented analytically, and then we can work with it as a mathematical object. I mean, we can apply other tools which use really the advantage that it is analytically represented. Okay, this is a just idea how this technique works. So please keep in mind that it has two steps, reduction and magnification. Okay, now the details of the F-transform. So if I want to formulate this notion in words, then I can say that this is a result of a weighted projection of an image on a finite set of granules that establish a fuzzy partition of a domain. Yeah. So the key word here is projection. Yeah. And the other key word is that it is projection on a smaller domain, as we saw in the previous slide, reduction, remember. And it is weighted projection, yeah, and on certain blocks which are fuzzy granules. Okay, so let me explain in more details, yeah, and I prefer to use pictures then to explain a formula, but later we will see also how it can be formally represented. But first of all, the idea of this here granulation. Yeah. So what we see, this is the domain where we have our image defined. And so this is a certain pixel or point. And then we create around this pixel, we call it node. We create an area which is represented by a Cartesian product of two fuzzy sets. AK, we have it on the, let me say, x-axis, and BL, we have it on the y-axis, yeah? And the direct product creates this area. But this is not ordinary set, yeah, in our binary understanding of this notion. This is a fuzzy set. This means that both Both sets, here they are represented with the help of their membership functions. Actually, there are mappings from a certain domain, again, on the interval 0, 1. Yeah, and the idea of fuzziness means that instead of binary degrees of belonging to a set, we use fuzzy degrees, degrees which are within the interval 0, 1. This means that a point belongs to a fuzzy set with a certain degree. So this is the idea. Yeah, and then based on this idea, we can identify fuzzy set with its membership function, and therefore, so starting from this point, we can forget about fuzzy set and we can work only with representing it function, yeah, which is depicted here. And then again, for simplicity, so this is more or less typical shape of every basic function. They are so-called bell-shaped. And so shapes can be different. For simplicity, I chose triangular-shaped basic functions or membership functions in other terminology. Okay, so now, so with each node of domain, we associate a block, and this block can be represented by a so-called fuzzy granule. Okay, let's go further. And now we have a partition. So you see, so we have a domain again, yeah, and then with certain nodes, not with every pixel from this domain, but only with some selected nodes, we associate fuzzy blocks or fuzzy granules. Yeah, and what is important, they should overlap and they should cover the whole domain. Yeah, so I, again, will not go into the details, so just to explain you the idea. So the domain should be covered and blocks or granules should overlap, as you see here on this slide. Okay, and now, formal representation first of a fuzzy partition of a domain. Yeah. So if we have a fuzzy partition, then with each, yeah, for simplicity, we explain only the partition of one dimension, yeah, of what we called x-axis. So this, yeah, this is the interval 1n. And so we have a collection of fuzzy sets over this interval. And then we denote with each fuzzy set, this is granule, so we remember at a certain point or pixel, so this value is denoted by A, K, I, yeah? And then we collect these elements in one matrix, and this is a matrix of a fuzzy partition, yeah? And then we make two normalizations. One is normalization over rows, yeah? And so this normalization gives us this matrix P, and then normalization of columns, and this gives us the another matrix Q, so it's here, yeah? So if we sum up elements over a row and then put this value in the denominators, so we will obtain P, and so if we do similar things with a column, then we obtain a normalization over columns, okay? So by these three matrices, we can represent every fuzzy partition, yeah? And now a direct F transform of an image. So what it is? So first of all, we assume that our image is represented by its matrix. So this means that we have a discrete representation by a matrix. And then we partition the both domains, the interval 1n and 1m on both axes, with fuzzy sets. So here we have elements, and then we combine them in order to obtain a fuzzy partition of the two-dimensional domain. And by this, we obtain a matrix of a partition, yeah? And then, so we define a matrix n, small n, yeah, times small m, f, U is the direct F transform of the image U with respect to our partition if this matrix can be represented in this form. Yeah, so I will explain. Yeah. So as we had at the beginning the explanation in words that Fizeau transform is a certain projection, weighted projection on a collection of Fizeau granules. So it is represented exactly here in this expression. So this is the original image matrix, yeah, of this image. And so here, here and here, yeah, because we have two axes, yeah. So we use projection matrices, yeah. So as usually in the theory of linear algebra, so each projection can be represented by a certain matrix. Here the difference is that instead of, let me say, binary representation of projection, we have a Fizeau representation. But this is the only difference. Otherwise, the expression looks similar to what we have in a classical case. And if we would like to see how it precisely represented, then the expression is here. But so I now have no time to explain more, yeah? And this is, again, just illustration how it works, yeah? So, again, we have, this is an original image, yeah? And then we choose only one Fizeau granule here. So here you see the fragment. And then we project. Project means that we compute only one representing intensity value, yeah? And this is just put in a correspondence with a new pixel, LK, yeah. So LK is just the central pixel of this block, and this is only one pixel in the resulting F transform image, yeah. So this is an idea. As I explained at the beginning, yeah. So this is reduction, yeah. So we reduce sizes of our image by these type of transformation. Okay, and the inverse F transform so should do something opposite, and in fact it does. Yeah. So this means that now from a smaller image we should come back to a larger one. Yeah. And again, for this purpose we use transpose matrices. Yeah. So again, I will not go into the details. It is very similar to how it is. How it works in linear algebra when we want to magnify a reduced object. Yeah. So again, so here you see this is the direct F transform image reduced, and then we use transposed matrices and we use other normalizations than at the beginning, normalization with respect to columns. Okay, and this is again the expression which gives you an idea how it can be computed if we want to have it formally represented. And as I stressed at the beginning, the advantage is that after two steps of Fizeau transform, we have a formal representation. This can be taken discretely if we want to work only with pixels, or we can consider it as a continuous representation. Yeah, this is advantage of this technique. And the first application, yeah, of this is just reduction and magnification. Reduction we saw as a first step, and this is the second step. Inverse F transform works as a magnifier. Yeah? So from a smaller, you can obtain a larger. And as you see, yeah, the difference with respect to an original one is negligible. Yeah, so this means that this technique really works well. In other words, yeah, the approximation has good quality. Yeah, if we apply this technique. So now, simply properties of the F transform, which explain why it works nicely. Yeah, as we saw at the beginning, the first property is the best approximation property, and it tells us that a certain criterion is minimized by a F-transform component. So we element of the direct F-transform, we call it F-transform component. And here, as you see, this is weighted mean square difference. Yeah, nothing special. Okay. So what is the core idea is how we choose membership functions of our Fizeau partition, and playing with them, we can obtain better results if we want to make a certain optimization over. Yeah, but we will not speak today about optimization. Okay, the second property of the F-transform is that constant objects are fixed points of this transformation. And the last is, of course, linearity, because we saw its linear representation. Okay, now we will see how this technique works in some applications. And as I promised, I will try to explain as far as the time allows me to do this. So the first application is for free, and this is reduction and magnification. Yeah, so here you see, but reduction is a really application because, for example, here you see if you have if you have your image on a larger screen, for example, medical doctors, they work with various screens, and they want to have their images from large to a small, and then therefore they shall apply this technique of reduction. And as we explained at the beginning, so reduction is for free if we apply the technique of the F-transform because it's specially designed for just making reduction. Yeah? And as a special gift of the F-transform is that it removes certain noise. For example, here you see we made a reduction of an image which contained 20% of impulsive noise. Yeah, and then so you see the reduced image and no effect of noise. Yeah, at least no visible effect of noise. And also, if we compute, then we can see that a certain amount or large amount of noise was removed. And here you see the comparison with other conventional or benchmark techniques, which also can be applied for this problem, reduction magnification. Yeah, and so here we compute with interpolation techniques for comparison. We chose bilinear, bicubic, and also interpolation with this Lentzsch kernel, which is very popular in computer science. And as it is seen, the results, this is so this computation or this table was computed over 53 color images. And here you see statistics. Yeah, this means that we choose these statistical values. And in all statistics, we see that the F-transform technique has advantage over interpolation methods. Okay. The second application, which I would like to explain, and now really explain, is reconstruction. Yeah. So, and what the problem of reconstruction, how we can explain it. So, as you see, image reconstruction takes a damaged image, which can be damaged by noise, text, scratch, and other things. And then the purpose is to restore, yeah, so to remove a damaged area. The assumption is that we know that damaged area can be separated, and we know how it can be separated. Yeah, otherwise, it does not work well. Yeah. So here you see an example of a certain damage. Yeah. And now I will show you how the damage which we see on this picture can be removed. Yeah. So this is restoration, or in other words, reconstruction. Yeah. And now let me briefly explain, because I promised to explain everything, how it works. So we propose to apply the F-transform for this purpose, yeah, and we will work with various partitions of our domain, starting from partition which uses narrow granules and then extending them to wider granules. Yeah, I will explain in more details on pictures. Yeah, so but the technique is simple. Choose a fuzzy partition and compute the respective inverse F-transform. And we saw that inverse F-transform works as a magnifier. And this means that it can spread the knowledge of image intensity on certain pixels to other pixels which are not involved. Yeah, and this is the idea of magnification. And then we compare. For example, of course, we use this approximation only if a pixel was damaged, yeah, because we can separate, yeah, it's our assumption. And if pixel was not damaged, we take this undamaged pixel, and this is the idea. Now again, in pictures, so we see. So for simplicity, one-dimensional representation, yeah. So this is, instead of image, we have a function. And this area, assume that it is damaged. So this means that actual values are not available, yeah, for us. And we shall restore, reconstruct this function using, in this case, the technique of the F transform. Yeah. So this is the interval where we do not have any knowledge about our function, and therefore, so how we solve this problem? Yeah. First of all, we make, as I said, a narrow partition. Yeah. Because narrow partition gives you better approximation than a wider one. Yeah. And then we compute components of the direct F transform which are close to known values of our function. Yeah. And then we stop, because if we continue, yeah, then we cannot compute, because the area, it can be covered, yeah, but we do not have any known pixels in this area. And therefore, after that, yeah, but what we obtain after the first step, we obtain narrow domain of damage, yeah. So we extend the knowledge of our damaged function, yeah, at least computing other approximate values, which are components, and by this we make our damaged error narrow with respect to the original one. Yeah, and then we use wider partition. Yeah, so the second step, or there is a sequence of steps, or can be organized. A sequence of steps means from narrow partition to wider. Why? Yeah, because we want to compute using known values of undamaged pixels, yeah? Because if we cover our domain, and this domain is totally damaged, so we cannot make a reconstruction. And therefore, taking a partition wider and wider, yeah, so we are able to compute values using the available information, yeah. So here you see, yeah, this computation was made over wider area, which covers now the reduced damaged area, yeah. And if now we apply the inverse F transform, yeah, we connect our computed components, and by this we will obtain a continuous representation. Okay, and let me. So this, yeah, and this slide explains, first of all, another technique which can be applied, and this is the technique of interpolation, yeah, and also it explains why the F-transform works better, at least with respect to a bilinear interpolation, yeah, because, for example, if we make a bilinear interpolation, in this case, linear interpolation, or piecewise linear interpolation, yeah, so we simply connect two known nodes, yeah, with this line, and this line is in green. But if we do it with respect or based on the F-transform technique, so you see we are closer to the damaged values of an original function. Okay, now coming back to picture. So now I will show you which kind of damage can be reconstructed with the help, or at least according to our experiments. So here you see the damaged caused by text over, yeah? And here you see the reconstruction in steps, how I explain, starting from narrow partition and then continuing with wider and wider. Yeah, so this is the original damage. So you see, this is the first step where we removed only part of this damage, then we removed significant part, and then we remove all what we wanted, or all what was possible to remove by this technique. Yeah, and this is an original image, yeah, just to have a comparison with it. And this is the criterion which is used to estimate a difference between an original and reconstructed, and the difference is quite well. Okay, and now I show you three possible damages. So with them we worked in our experiments, and so again, so we took the image of Lena and put damage over, yeah, and then that was for us input image, yeah. This is another text over, and this is noise. So here you practically do not see an original image, yeah, if we put this noise over. This is 70%, which is quite a lot. Okay, and here you see results of our reconstructions. Again, damaged images are above and below. You see how we are able to reconstruct. And here you see, so of course, the quality is not good, but at least we were able to extract the whole image. Okay, so I practically do not have... Yeah, and this is if we compare our technique with another popular technique which is applied for solving this problem. This is, again, interpolation, which is based on radial-based functions. Yeah, and as you see, result of the F-transform is better. Okay, and so because time is practically over, I will briefly run over our other applications. Yeah. So the application, again, which I wanted to explain is edge detection. And edge, so again, yeah, so because I promised to explain, this means that to explain what do we mean, yeah, when we say that we want to extract edges. And so what are edges actually, yeah? So edges or edge is the notion which is connected with gradient, yeah, because this is an area where gradient or its value has the or it is maximized on an edge, yeah. And therefore, in order to explain how the technique works, yeah, we should be able to work with derivatives or partial derivatives, because image is a function of two variables. And this means that it is necessary to extend the idea of F-transform from components which are constants to components which are linear elements, yeah. Again, I will not go into the details, only I will show you this picture, yeah. So the idea of F-transform, as I introduced in the beginning, is that we compute only one component which is associated with a certain element of our fuzzy partition. But this idea can be generalized, and instead of constant, we can consider linear components or components of other degrees represented by polynomials, yeah. But for us, for edges, it is important or it is enough to have only linear representation. Yeah, and then, as I said, I will not explain. So this slide explains the idea of an edge. Yeah, this means that the region where, in this case, derivative has its maximal value, and this region should be found, yeah, in an image. Okay, so this will be omitted, and result, as you see here, so this is an original image, and this is the image of edges, yeah, which we were able to extract. And again, yeah, comparison with the benchmark technique, which in this case the technique based on Kenny, the Kenny algorithm, yeah, and we can say that the F1 transform can extract more relevant edges, and edges are smoother than in the case of the benchmark techniques. So this slide explains really that, so you see, that the F-transform, which is here in violet, yeah, extracts more relevant edges than the Kenny algorithm, which is depicted in red. And very shortly, other two applications without explanation, just to show that also we can solve these problems. Not only these, but they are nicely to be demonstrated. Compression, yeah? Compression, as you see, this is original, and this is F-transform reconstructed with different compression compression ratios. Yeah, so on the left we see 1/4, and on the right we see something between 1/4 and 1/3. Yeah, and so here in brackets you see a comparison with again conventional or benchmark technique with which is a JPEG, and as you see, there is a difference in favor of JPEG, but the difference is not significant. So let me say this is really the mostly comparable technique with respect to the JPEG. Yeah, and the last is registration, also a very challenging application. So here you see two images which can be put together. Yeah, but the question or the problem is how we can combine, yeah, in order to enlarge the first or the second, yeah, with respect to the other one. Yeah, and then it is done with respect or with the help of fixing some, let me say, essential points. And the points, the problem is how we can find these points. And again, the technique of F-transform helps you to find it with a certain notion of similarity, yeah? And then, so this is the result, yeah? So we combine both pictures, and now we have one, yeah, which is the result of both, yeah? So this is our possible applications, yeah? And then what I want to say, yeah, just to connecting with the beginning. So we discussed today some applications, yeah, of one technique to the image processing. Yeah? And we discussed few problems. But what is important is that the problem which we discussed, they are so-called atomic operations, yeah, in image processing. And then if we have a real-world problem in image processing, then we are trying to solve it combining these atomic operations which we discussed, yeah, means reduction, magnification, compression. This is a specific topic, but then registration or segmentation, yeah, and then combining these atomic operations, we are able to solve rather complicated problems, yeah. And so the advantage is that we saw today that we can do it on the basis of one selected technique, just improving it or adjusting it to solve this or that problem. And so the conclusions are as follows. So first of all, F-transform makes manipulation with objects in a target domain much easier. Why? Because it produces, at least in its first step, the discrete representation with the help of matrices, and therefore the technique of linear algebra can be applied. And then applications. Reduction based on the F-transform is fast in comparison with other and efficient. Reconstruction, we saw, is easier than the interpolation-based reconstruction, and edge detection has better quality than the benchmark method, which is the Canis detector. And that's all which I wanted to discuss with you today. Thank you very much for your attention.